On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendeen, Lisa Kaphammer is with ARC Federal Credit Union. This is Money Matters. Lisa, welcome.
Hi, Doug.
We do this about once a month where we talk about a different financial aspect. And this one came from some people asking Lisa for her advice on something. And it's a little different from what we do, she said, when we came in. Why don't you explain that?
It is a little outside our normal scope because it was parents asking about the money side of making sure your children have everything they need without having them end up entitled. And I don't like to throw around the word spoiled easily, but, you know, that kind of has a negative connotation. But you do want to make sure that you provide for your kids without them having that expectation of everything I ask for is just given to me, right? So where's that balance? And while you're also managing your own finances and sticking to your own budget. So kind of just some pointers on keeping your kids grounded and not grounded in a bad way, not you're in trouble grounded,
yeah.
You know, based in reality and a realistic expectation while understanding, you know, healthy money habits and making them feel like, well, I do have everything I need and you're not being deprived.
What age do you think most kids ask for a cell phone these days?
Ooh,
I don't know
question.
The answer to this, by the way. I'm asking you.
I mean, I've seen first graders with cell phones. I don't know what the age is that kids ask for them. Probably when they start seeing their friends walking around with them is my guess.
And my question then would be, do you think any of those kids at that age understand what a cell phone costs?
Probably not. No.
Yeah. So I guess that's sort of what you were looking to explain here and how to advise parents on dealing with that. So where do we start?
So I think one of the first places that you can start is give your kids an allowance. Use it as a teaching tool. I know a lot of times it's very easy to tie an allowance to chores, right? Like, oh, make your bed and you get a couple dollars and, you know, clean up after dinner and you get a couple dollars.
Dollars, you're generous. I was getting quarters.
Inflation, Doug.
Yeah.
But if you only tie it as a reward to an activity, it could kind of distort their perception of how to manage their money. And then they could expect something in return every time they do every little thing. And that can become problematic even when you get into the workforce and you think, well, you know, so-and-so asked me to help them with something. I should get extra for that.
Mm.
And I know that's a very gray area to delve into, but you also want your kids to develop just a sense of responsibility with general household tasks. What I have found personally that has worked is you have a set allowance that you can give your kid, and this is much easier to manage as a parent too.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, you know, as long as you help around the house, whether it's, hey, this week we need you to do more dishes or maybe help with the laundry a little bit more, age appropriate to the child, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it might not be the exact same set of chores every week. But hey, did you do your part to pull your weight around the house with what we needed? And this is your allowance because you're a contributing member of the family, right? That's kind of that expectation is this household all works together. We all pitch in and it works. You know, that's part of it.
I got off kind of light. I didn't have any specific chores. I didn't have to dust. I didn't have to vacuum. Of course, my mother was like, didn't even want my dad to vacuum. You're not doing it right. Well, how's the right way to vacuum? I'm running it over the carpet. So yeah, I didn't do too much of that stuff, but I did get an allowance.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the thing about an allowance was, oh, you suddenly understand the value of money. I want this item. Well, is this really worth 25 cents or can I spend 50 and get this other item that's better, but I can't do both? Suddenly you're making decisions that adults make, but you don't realize it.
Exactly. And that's an important part because you have that limited funds, right? That you're, and if you give your kids an allowance and then as soon as they say, oh, well, I need 50 extra dollars for this pair of shoes, and you're like, ah, right here. You do kind of have to reinforce with the, well, what did you earn in your allowance? Did you save any from last time? You know, if that's what you want, then save for next week's allowance and you can put them together and have those shoes. Figure out important ways to teach those lessons to your kids by using the fact that you have a limited amount that you get each week or however you, every 2 weeks, maybe when your paycheck comes out, they get paid too.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them that this is how we structure when we want something, we save for it, right? Because if you're not modeling those habits, then those kids aren't starting to build that and understand that respect for money. Even though they didn't necessarily do every chore to earn every single dollar. And I understand that each kid is wired differently, so they might, maybe when they do extra, you could give them a little extra. You know, they went above and beyond. Oh, you helped your dad do the spring cleaning of the yard this week because it was, we were coming out of the winter season or whatever, then here's a few dollars extra. That's fine, you know.
That reminds me, I did have to do something weeding. I still hate it. Now I have no choice if I want to get it done. The other thing that you said there, and I don't know whether you let kids stumble upon this themselves. I kind of did about, oh, well, if you want something more, save up. Because a lot of my friends, okay, you get 50 cents. So they would spend 50 cents every week.
Yes.
Whereas I would sit there after a while, I realized, wait a minute, if I save it, I don't get anything this week, but I get something better next week.
Yes. Yep. And that is an important part of, and as a parent, and this is one of the questions that came to me was, you know, I don't want to just give in to every, hey, I want this, hey, I want that. I know someone personally who is my age who said literally every time their mom would take them to the store as a kid, they would ask for something because they knew that she would buy it for them.
Well,
they
what do you expect?
Exactly. Yeah. They didn't care what it was. They didn't even care when they got home. Like what they did with it. They half the time they didn't even play with it or use it or whatever. They just knew that if they asked for something while they were out, mom would throw it in the cart and get it for them.
Yeah, that's an alien concept to me.
Right. And it's not that the parent did it out of, oh, they were trying to spoil. This kid isn't a bad guy or anything. He's a great guy. But
yeah. It's
just something he knew that if he asked for something, it was going in the cart.
If you have it and you want to do that, fine, but you might want to teach the kid the value of the stuff eventually.
Right. And that was something where he said he kind of developed some bad habits with impulse buying when he was out on his own, managing his own money, was, oh, I want this, so I'm just going to grab it. Right. And you need to let your kids know, maybe it's not saying to them, well, we can't afford that right now. It's saying to them, do you need that right now? Right. Like is you have to help.
Need
them
versus want. Do you
yes.
need that right now? No. Do right. I want the little toy this week? Yes. Well, then there's consequences. You either pay for it or you pay for it next week.
Right. Exactly. Those needs versus those wants, those have to be differentiated early. And that will save your kids a lot of stress down the road. And I know it can be hard when they're whining and you just want to get through your trip to the store. And I know it's a tough battle, but as a parent, when I see other parents who are dealing with, you know, those whiny kids, the tired kids, and they're having those
terrible twos lasted a few more years.
Yeah, they're having those battle of the wills in the middle of the store. My heart goes out to you, but I do not judge you one bit whenever you tell your kid no and you say, no, not today. You don't need this. And you put it down and walk away, even if that kid has their little temper tantrum. And I respect that a lot because I know that's very difficult. It's like Dave Ramsey says, the magic word is no, right? You're teaching your children to exercise that discipline today so they can have a better tomorrow, right? You don't need to spend that money. If you hold on to it, you'll have it for tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess it depends what you had an example here from Ramsey about, say your daughter asked for a $200 designer jacket she doesn't need. If you give it to her, give in to her begging, you may be affecting your future choices and standards in two ways. You have diminished the value of $200 in her eyes. You are raising her standards to level you or she may not be able to sustain.
Mm-hmm. And that is important where you think to yourself, well, I can afford to buy this for her, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm in a place where my finances allow me to provide this for my children. But as your child goes out on their own and becomes independent, are they going to start in that place where they can provide that lifestyle for themselves?
Mm.
Because I always think of Mila Kunis, who said about her and Ashton Kutcher's children. She said, my kids aren't rich. My kids don't have money. I have money.
Yeah,
right?
True.
Like, I earned my money. I have money.
They didn't. And, yeah, the kids didn't have the TV show.
Right. And like, not that they don't provide for their children, but she said she definitely tried to make it clear that their kids are not, and I don't know how, I haven't followed their life story closely, but I always thought that was an interesting way to look at it. Like, the kids themselves don't have that money. That is the parents' money that they earned, and they use it to provide for their children. So realize that when your children go off on their own, you may have set aside, you know, savings accounts for them, et cetera. But they should also be able to function independently without relying on funds from you for the rest of their life.
I don't remember who the celebrity was, but this was in the late 40s, early 50s, and they took their kid to a birthday party of another star's child, and they looked around at the largesse. I mean, forget just one pony. They got a pony for every kid to ride. They got the, they got the thing catered by a chef standing by to serve the kids. I mean, it's just – and the gifts were just astronomical. Yeah. And they said, we're moving out of California. And they moved somewhere into the Midwest and stayed there and commuted to do movies because they said, well, I'm not raising my kid in this. This is – they didn't grow – they grew up poor.
Right, yeah.
So they looked around and said, I could easily afford to do this for my kid, but this teaches them nothing about the value of it. So they got the heck out of Dodge and went somewhere else.
Right.
And the kid – and they said – and this was years later. I'm reading the interview. And they said the kids grew up fine.
Yeah.
And their grandchildren grew up fine, too, because of it, because they had some better understanding of things.
And that is something where you want to look at the people that you surround yourself with and realize that these are the people that are influencing the way my child views the world and the way they view how money is handled. And do we share common goals in that, right? Do you have – I know you can't control everyone's behaviors around you, right? So you want – the adults around you to model good behaviors for your children. But even if they don't, even if something happens where, you know, there's poor decision making happening, you can always kind of turn and use that as an example, too, for your child to say, hey, look, Uncle Bobby got his car repoed because he spent too much money on that car, that big old truck that he and they came and took his truck away, you know. And I'm not saying that you point this out to your children, but when it's children see a lot of things. So they may ask and be like, hey, what happened to Uncle Bobby's truck? Ah, well, this is why we have to make good financial decisions and make sure that we're spending money on things that we can afford that fit within our budget, or else we lose them.
It's like the old meme, nobody is so worthless they can't serve as a bad example.
Yes, and I don't want to pick on anybody.
Yeah.
These are just made up examples there. But keep in mind that the people you surround yourself and your child with will kind of put that into their brain. They pick that up very early. I think they found as young as seven, they can start realizing how people are handling their money. So are you trying to keep up with the Joneses, as it were, which is a very bad financial habit? Or are you teaching them to save and teaching them to live on less than what they're making, right? That allowance, you don't have to spend it all every week when you get it.
We'll continue with the conversation. We're talking with Liesl Kapphammer. Money Matters on WRTA is sponsored by ARC Federal Credit Union. And we were talking about how you can teach your kids the value of a dollar and also, you know, manage money a little bit better for themselves. Before we get back into that, speaking of that, student loans for college.
Yes. So right now is peak time for kids that are getting ready to roll into that fall semester to apply for student loans. And ARC offers a student loan that would cover anything that you haven't been able to make up as far as you already went through the FAFSA process, you know what you're getting as far as anything from the government, and then you looked into scholarships and grants, all of that money, anything you may have saved personally, and is there still a gap between that and the tuition that you owe? We will help with that, step in. It's a very easy process. Our loan officer, Matt, is great with helping kids and their parents out. But it's really nice because it is treated like a line of credit. So you come in freshman year, go through the full application, and then each year there is like a smaller, simpler version. Make sure you're still enrolled, you're still keeping your grades up, make sure like there's a few requirements you have to meet, but it's not that full application every year. Then you just do a draw on the line of credit.
Okay, and rich uncle didn't die and leave you $1 million.
Right,
so,
right, yeah.
Yeah, so your circumstances didn't change too much. Is that ever affected by people who get a job when they're going to college?
I don't believe that affects it too much. Now, that would be a question more for Matt, if your financial situation would change. Working
ARC.
While you're in college
yeah.
is probably not something that's bringing in excessive amounts of money.
Not for what they pay you, no.
No, and not for the number of hours you could actually get in while you're still going to school full time. So But yeah, that would, I know if you guys reach out to Matt at ARC, he's really good with all that.
Something else along the lines of getting back to our topic here, modeling what you do. My folks explained credit cards to me when I was 7 or 8 because they decided to cut them up, pay them all off. They were sick of paying the minimum because they thought, well, look how much money we're wasting. Mm-hmm. And there's a longer story to that I think I've told before. But they explained how it worked. And yes, they kept credit cards, but they used them sparingly and they paid them off every month, which I also do in my life. Mm-hmm. And people say, that's impossible. Well, not if you don't buy things you can't afford first.
Right.
Then you charge it. Then you get the 3% back or whatever you want to do. But you've got the money before you buy something, unless it's a house or a car where you're going to have to do that. But I had some idea of what they were doing, and that gave me an idea with my allowance one time. I forget how old I was, maybe 12, 13. I was getting $1 a week. I was rich. But I learned about credit from them, and there was something I wanted. We got one of these direct mail pieces or something, and one of the things that came with it was a 6-book hardbound set of Peanuts comics, Charlie Brown and Snoopy. And Mattel put it out. It's like, how is this a toy? Well, anyway, it's $16 back in 19-whatever. And I said, well, can I get this? Like, oh, we don't have money for that. 16 was 16 back then. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, what about this? I get $1 a week. How about for 16 weeks you don't give me an allowance and I bought it on credit like you used a credit card? And my mother was like, where did you get the – okay, fine. I got the books somewhere. They're still around. I don't know. And for 16 weeks I didn't get an allowance. But you know what? I didn't care. I had the books.
Yeah. There you go.
So if the idea is to teach the kids something about it, maybe the other part is teaching them how it works, mm-hmm. like my parents did to me with credit.
Right. Right. And that is, you want to model good behavior. You want to let your kids know that just because you are engaging in good financial habits, that doesn't mean you can't enjoy things in life, right? You still got that set of books that you wanted, that you were looking forward to. And it does work that way. So you can say, hey, I'm going to plan for this and we're going to make it work, right? That's something you need to let your kids understand, that the reason we do kind of make, I don't want to see even necessarily say make sacrifices now, because if you decide, you know what, I can live without this impulse buy, is that really a sacrifice, or are you just learning to be a little bit more disciplined because you're not picking up something extra that it may just sit on a shelf, you know?
Your kids see if you're buying junk.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
If you're buying toys for yourself, they're going to want toys for themselves.
Mm, right.
And I don't blame them if that's all they know.
Right. And you have to kind of give them that environment of, you can be happy without things. That materialism is going to be something else that makes it difficult to really model kind of a happy lifestyle and true contentment, right? That is a big thing that kids will pick up on, is that, are you content with your lifestyle? And can you kind of pass that on to your children? Or do we have to go buy something in order to be happy? And an experience is different than retail therapy, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you choose to go on a vacation to spend time with your family, that is an experience. And that's my generation is very big on that experiential kind of purchase, you could say.
Yeah.
But keep it within your budget again. And you don't have to spend $10,000 to go on a nice vacation. I love camping, right? And it doesn't have to be extravagant glamping. You know, it can be a cabin. I'm not really big on tent camping.
Mm-hmm.
But it can still definitely be under $1,000 to do a weekend camping trip.
And if you save up over a course of a year for that, you show the kids, hey, we're saving up for this because this costs X amount.
Right.
Now, just as a advisory here, I did not know what my folks made at work. It was none of my business. And they explained that to me politely when I was very young and innocently asked things like that. Why did I ask things like that, you say? Because my friends would say, well, my dad makes X. What does your dad make?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. And I'm thinking, and why would I tell you if I did?
Right. And kids ask these things innocently enough, not realizing that maybe there's more behind that statement. But the important thing to convey to your children is the amount of money that you make does not predicate your happiness, right? Do we have a lifestyle that we have all of our needs met? And are we able to still spend quality time together? Those are the things that really will help you as far as, and I don't want to use the word spoiled, but you don't want to create a child who only sees value in material things.
Or entitlement.
Yes. And that is
one
of the biggest
things. And we've all met too many of those people, and some of them ain't kids.
Right, right. And that's, and again, I'm only kind of putting this information out there because I've had people kind of ask me about this from a financial point, as well as I've had experience working with children for many, many years. And it is something that you see how parents interact with their kids and how those kids respond. Is it, and one of the things that I will say that good parents do, and I'm not here to judge whether you're a good parent or not, but I've seen parents who have happy, well-adjusted children, so I'll use that metric, is they boost their kids' confidence. They want to let them know that however they did, they're happy with it, right? You did something, you went out and you tried. I don't care if you won. I don't care if your team came out on top. I don't care if, you know, your art project took first place or last place in the...
As long as you weren't lazy about doing it and you honestly tried, great. That's what you should do.
Like, I know you put in your best effort and I'm proud of you for doing that. Mm. And it's tough because you can have kids that give your kid a hard time. And I know that complicates life, but I've honestly seen this where parents who let their kids know, I'm proud of you, I'm proud of what you've accomplished, that helps those kids. They really do take that to heart. Whether it's parents, aunts, uncles, neighbors, that, like I said, the people you surround your child with, if they have that positive reinforcement for your child, it's much easier for that child to take in kind of those maybe negative influences that come up while you're growing up, that peer pressure, things like that, and just say, that's fine, you know, if you think I need to do that, but I know people that like me the way I am, so I don't feel the need to change.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I did not grow up poor. I did not grow up rich. There were people that had a lot more than me, and there were people that had less. And a lot of those people who had less never thought that they were poor either.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're talking a relative term, yeah, they would have less than me, so does that make them poor? Well, maybe not necessarily, but I knew people that had a lot of problems as a kid, and they turned out fine, but they didn't value or devalue their life based on what they didn't have.
And that is a huge part of that, having an independent, respectful, content child is, you know, you give them that value, that self-worth at a young age. And having their needs met because you can manage your finances is a part of that for sure. And modeling healthy, you know, financial skills is good. But a big part of that is just instilling that confidence in them. And sometimes it's hard because as a parent, you're sitting there thinking, do I know what I'm doing? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's kind of a want to see your child succeed. So you feel that your child is the best, most wonderful person. So you want to make sure that they feel that too.
Yeah. On some of the notes on the outline here, you mentioned something about a jar of gratitude. What's that?
So one of the things you can do to kind of help kids focus on those positive things is to point out things that they're grateful for. That one of the suggestions that I've come across is having a jar like at your house or something that people in your family are grateful for something, they write it on a slip of paper, drop it in the jar, and then maybe at the end of the week or during dinner time or something, you guys can review it, you know, read through them and what everyone was grateful for. I find the most time to have meaningful conversations is on car rides. That's when life seems to kind of slow down a little bit.
It's a captive audience.
I know, right? So the jar approach probably wouldn't be my best guess for my family anyway to achieve that. But just kind of reviewing the day, reviewing highlights, lowlights, whatever you need to talk about. But yeah, pointing out things that, you know, you are grateful for, you know, in your week, what was a positive or maybe even a negative and how'd you get through it?
And you also have a thing here about doing something with giving and letting your kids see you be charitable and modeling it as an example.
Yes. And again, we talked about making sure your kids see you managing money and how you do that so they pick up those habits. How you charitably give, whether that is with your money or with your time, because not all of us are in a position where we can just write checks off to charities, right?
Yeah.
So take your kids along with you when you go to volunteer, whether you're going to the Humane Society to help with, you know, cleaning animal cages, or whether you're going to the library or to wherever it is that you can find to donate your time, the soup kitchen. Take them with you. Let them see that, as long as they're obviously old enough. But that becomes then just a natural part of life to them to say, oh, well, we should be giving our time to help other people.
And again, if people want to contact you, where are the brick and mortars for ARC?
We are at 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
And the phone number?
814-946-0857. You can text or call.
And the website?
arcfcu.org.
And they're also on Facebook, and we'll have those links on the podcast of this program coming up in just a few minutes on WRTA.com. Liesl Kapphammer from ARC Federal Credit Union, thank you.
Thank you, Doug.